I love what Alan just said about just some of the pain that we may go through. You know, during the worship time, you know, and it was just one song, but during that time I was praying for some of you, you know, as I was getting my mind right and thinking through what I want to talk about, I just felt led to pray for some of you, because my guess is that some of you are I don't want to say on the verge, because it sounds like I'm just doing that, but it is. It's on the cusp of maybe making some changes, and you're scared, because you're going, well, what does that look like, and what are the ramifications of that, and what's going to be the fallout of those things, and so I'm just praying for you, because that's not an easy transition. And others of you, I've been praying for you, because I don't want you to think I'm judging you, but I am. I just don't want you to think that I am. But some of you, you know, you're going to come here and you're going to hear some, you've heard some lingo, you know, oh, missional communities and, you know, whatever else, you know, global network community toss, you know, and what you're going to do is you're going to go back and you're just going to talk. You're just going to talk with new words that you came up with, and new lingo and new buzzwords that you caught from different speakers this week. And you know, and then you'll go to your next conference and you guys will have these awesome theological discussions and practical discussions on things we could do in our church and how we'll rename this, rename that, and just sound really deep. And that's just really weird to me. There's no point in that. It's just, but honestly, I think some of you, you're just going to go away with these new words, and good. I hope you had fun. Last night we were talking with Dave Gibbons, and I just had such an amazing time with him. Dave is one of my heroes. And I don't use that word with very many people on this earth, but Dave is, because he went through so much pain in changing his church. And it was so cool, you know. I just got our guys around him last night at dinner, and we're just picking his brain about the pain he went through, because he talked about losing a third of his church and the income going down 30 to 40% in the church. And he talked about all these people that he thought were his friends, people that that told him, "Sure, I'm going to be with you forever." And then they take off, and the pain, and then seeing them around town, guys that just looked at him as a father and a brother, and, "No, you're my family, I'll never desert you," and they're gone. And he just talked about the pain of that. And you know, and some guys were, you know, he was talking about how he just didn't even want to preach. He had nothing he wanted to say anymore. You know, he would preach and no one would listen to him. And this church that he started, you know, that he thought they were all going to be there, and he thought that he was the leader, and then pretty soon he realized, "I'm not their leader anymore. They're not listening to anything I say. I don't even have anything to say anymore. I don't feel like preaching. I don't have another sermon to give them." And one of the guys asked, like, "Well, what did you do when what did you do when you felt that way?" And you know, you expected Dave to say something profound, you know, like, "Oh, I mount up with wing like eagle, you know, and I run, you know, not grow." He didn't say, he doesn't talk like that. I love Dave. But you know, you wanted something deep, something like, "Oh, you know, what is it?" And he just goes, "I just cried. Man, I just laid there and cried, complained, felt like quitting. Because every time I'd see the face of someone like that, and it was just so refreshing to hear that." And we've tried to implement some of this stuff. And there's not an elder on our board that didn't think about quitting. Seriously think about quitting. All of us on our own just going, you know, these people you love that you thought were with you, but people have limits. It's not this dying to yourself thing. It's like, "Well, I'll die, you know, within my comfort zone. And don't push me beyond that." You know, I'm not really just dying to myself. I'll die to these areas. And when you're going, "Man, but biblically, shouldn't we go?" I know, but don't push me there. And then, you know, these guys that you thought were loyal, and they're gone, and there isn't an answer. There's not an easy answer. You cry. There's times you just sit alone and go, what am I doing? Am I killing the church? Am I helping the church? But I can't help this call that I feel. And I can't help these biblical convictions, because it's not just another thing or another trend. It's something you see in Scripture and you're going, well, that's not us. I've never felt peace about this. I've never felt peace about, oh, here's the book of Acts and now... And I'm not talking about little bits of suffering. I'm talking about, like, it's really going to hurt. You know, sometimes when we talk about suffering, you know, and attacks from Satan... In the American church, it's like, oh man, one time I was playing the guitar and one of my strings broke. You know, it just seemed like Satan attacking me and, you know, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I just can't imagine, that's fast. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like pain, like depression, like, what's going on here? Is anything for real? Is anyone for real? Is anyone even with me anymore? And it's that type of, stuff that I see in Scripture, and I go, man, that, I think that's what some of us are in for if we're serious about this stuff. If it gets beyond talk and showing off stuff that we learned and cute phrases, we're in for some pain, a lot of pain. And I say that because it seems like that's what God intends for everyone that walks with Him. And I say this because I wasn't ready for it. In fact, we've backed off a little bit because it was like too much to handle, and now it's time, you know, talking to staff, I think we gotta push again. And that means more pain, it means more tears, it means more people leaving us. One of the things that Dave said that was so good, that helped us so much, because, you know, when we said, man, what do you do when those people that you thought, man, that, we started the church together. We did it. We grew up together. You know, we're family members even. And he said that was, it was an opportunity for me to show. He goes, I forget his words he used. It was a good word. The highest form of love, when you can love someone who's betrayed you. Like Jesus with Judas and the love he showed him. Knowing he was going to betray him. He goes, I realized after a while I got to quit complaining, and this is my opportunity to love these people and show the highest form of Christ-like love, which is loving those whom you feel have betrayed you or left you or abandoned you. Do I love them? Can I keep loving them? Oh, I thought, wow, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that. That this... I remember because I would go to Dave, you know, I go, man, Dave, can we just talk? You know, we'd meet halfway and just go, you know, I feel like quitting. And he goes, I did that like 20 times, you know, and he would just walk me through and he goes, you know what, this is a lot about you too. This is a lot about you. This is not just about your church. This is about God, you know, showing you the faults in your love, the faults in your life, the lack of humility. Let these people beat you up and love them still. I'm like, well, are you serious? You know, it's just... He goes, this is a lot for you. He goes, just calm down. Everything's gonna be okay. God's working on you, Francis. God's pruning you. And I just hated hearing that. You know, I wanted him to say, no, get up in front of the crowd and say this, you know, and lead this way. Be stronger. Be this. And he's like, no, just let him beat you up and then love him in return. And you're going to become so much more like Christ. This is hard stuff. I hated hearing that stuff. You know, in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, I love what Peter writes. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. See, and that's our problem sometimes as ministers, as pastors, as leaders. When we get attacked, we think, man, what are you guys doing to me? That's really strange. That's really odd. You know, this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a man of God, and you should love me. People should love a prophet, because they always did. You know, and then you read Peter, and he goes, well, why are you guys surprised? Like something weird's happening to you? Well, that's weird. People hate you, because they love Jesus. They love the prophets. No, he says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. It's the way they treated the false prophets. And so you see this stuff, but it doesn't make it any easier. It's hard. And, you know, I was asked yesterday, I don't know where, in an interview or something, and they said, okay, you know, this big old church thing you got, do you feel like you need to break it, like kill it, in order for real community to take place? And I said, I don't know. I still don't know. I'm right there. You know, but I don't know. I'm still not sure. Because on the one hand, I've been thinking this way because I'm going, man, we've been teaching it, but will they just not get it until we kill it? It's like if my kid is 18 and I'm telling her, no, you gotta get a job and be responsible, and then, you know, okay, and I can keep teaching it, and then she's 25 and still doesn't have a job. Do I just need to kick her out? Is that the only way she's going to learn? I've wrestled with that, with the church system. The problem is what if I kick her out and some other family goes, oh, your dad's just being too hard, come live with us. And that's exactly what would happen in the church, right? Yeah, your elders, he's your pastor, he's always been a little out there, come in here. Yeah, you guys can keep sleeping together, it's not that big a deal. And you know, it's just, they'll run to another home. They'll find a new mom and dad that'll take them in. And, oh, yeah, look at all these other kids that I took in. And so I don't know if that's the answer. Because you go, well, they're just going to leave and go to that. I don't know. It's just a confusing thing. And that's why at the end of the day, it's all about the Holy Spirit and what He's called you specifically to do. This last year, I've been getting so much advice from godly men, good guys. But at the end of the day, I got to get along with the Lord and say, yeah, but I'm not Him. I'm not Him, and I'm not Him. What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? Because I'm sensing you want me to take a step of faith. And it may look different from this guy. And will I do that? Am I willing to do that? And that's why I go, man, I hope you guys are not just coming here listening to Guy and go, I'll gravitate toward his method, his words, you know, and you, at the end of the day, you really come before the Lord and go, I got to stand before you one day. And here's this bride that I'm bringing before you. What are my gifts? What am I called to do? What am I convicted about in Scripture? And I got to go after that, even though none go with me, because I got to sleep at night and I got to know that I'm right before you. And those were some of the things, some of the pain that Dave was walking through us last night. And I just loved it. Matthew 10, Jesus says, I don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. It's Jesus. I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In Mark 8, verse 34, calling the crowd, he said to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever should save his soul, his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. In Luke chapter 6, 22, blessed are you when people hate you. When they exclude you, revile you, spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. In John 15, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. They'll keep yours also. Acts 5. When they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. And they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Romans 8. Are you seeing a pattern yet? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And you'll figure it out when I get to Corinthians. Romans 8. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to reveal to us. 1 Corinthians 4, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. 2 Corinthians, for as we share, chapter 1, verse 5, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Galatians 6, 12, only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. It's a fight here. Philippians 1, 29, it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him but also suffer for His sake. Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. So much to say about that. 1 Thessalonians 3:4, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, you know, for which you are also suffering. 1 Timothy, I admit, 1 Timothy doesn't speak about suffering. So Paul makes up for it in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:8, share in the suffering for the gospel of the power of God. 2 Timothy 2:3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 4, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering. Goes on, Titus 1, Philemon 9, Hebrews 13, I gotta read that one. Hebrews 13, so, verse 12, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. Therefore, let us go to Him outside the camp and bear the reproach He endured. I love that one. I can't just read that one. I can read some of the other ones. This one I just love. Because he says, you know, Jesus suffered outside the gate. Remember when Jesus, they wouldn't crucify Him inside the city. Why? They had to take Him outside the city because that's where they took the trash out. That's where they burned the trash. That's where everything unclean went. That's where all the rejects. You're not allowed in our city. We're going to crucify you out there. Okay, the same place where we dump all the trash. Okay, and we're going to crucify you with a couple of losers, some criminals. That's where you belong. And so he's out there, and you see what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He goes, man, you understand? Man, all these people in the city, they're going, man, Jesus isn't good enough. We don't want Him in here. And if He suffered out there, he goes, man, if that's my Jesus, then fine. I'll get out of the city. I'm going to go out to where the cross is. Because man, if you're going to reject my Jesus, then take me with Him. It's like, wow. It's just a sense of, you're going to do that to Jesus? I'm not going to stay here comfortably in the city and try to be accepted by you all. I'm going to go out to where He is. I'll suffer outside the gate. Okay, call me an idiot. Call me a freak. You know, tell me I'm screwing everything up. Reject me. I want to be like Jesus. I want to go to wherever He is. James 5 is an example of suffering. You get the idea. Every book of the New Testament. Suffering, suffering, suffering. And yet we're surprised. We're surprised when the trials come, like something weird's happening. Why am I suffering? As if you're not suffering, you shouldn't be at peace. You should be wondering, man, what in the world? How come no one's attacking me? How come Satan's not attacking me? Probably because he didn't have to. It's going to be tough, you know. And the thing is here's the thing we got to learn. When Paul says in Philippians 3:10, he goes, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. He says, I want to know Christ, and we would all agree with that. Of course, we want to know Christ. And you go, I want to know the power of His resurrection. You go, man, of course I want to experience that Holy Spirit power in my life. But then He says, I also want to share in His sufferings. I want the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, it's like if He's being nailed to that cross, I want to be out there and I actually want to be next to Him. As painful as that would be. Because can you imagine the fellowship? Most of us saw The Passion of the Christ or some crucifixion movie. I mean, can you imagine if as Jesus is just stretched out and they're beating Him, what if you were on the other side of Jesus, looking Him in the eyes, and they're beating you too? Can you imagine? I mean, I hate pain, but can you imagine the pain that would be going on? But can you imagine the fellowship and the comfort and the security of looking Jesus in the eyes and go, no, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. Can you imagine how close you would be with Jesus? And how safe that would feel? Where you go, okay, now I know I'm the real thing. I'm taking this with you. I'd be stupid for taking this unless I really believe that. I know I believe. See, some of us need to suffer just to know that we're for real. Sometimes we look at our lives and we go, man, I don't even know if I'm for real. I don't know what I'm trying to get. But can you imagine the fellowship, the intimacy you would have with Jesus? Can you imagine if you're both carrying these beams up this hill and you're just looking at each other, come on, Jesus, come on, Francis, okay, you know, just, and then as they drive that nail into Jesus' hand and He screams, and then they drive one into yours and you're just looking at each other and you're hanging there together. Just go, no, we're gonna be there. Can you imagine the fellowship? Paul goes, I want Jesus so bad. I want to experience that fellowship in His sufferings. You got to see that as a good thing because it brings you closer to Christ. And that's again, I'm learning this with you. That's something that Dave was just bringing up again last night, just going, you got to learn to love those who betray you, to become more like Christ. You got to have people betray you. And then you got to work up that love. You got to say, God, make me like Christ. I got to love that person. They left my church. They're going to another one and they're bashing me. Well, do you love them? Do you bless them? Because that's what He told us to do. I haven't been. I've been praying for them. He's not praying the right things. You know? That fellowship, you know, I think, man, you got to be so close. And it's interesting because I was reading a missionary, you know, a book by this missionary, and he was talking about this one time when people were shooting arrows into his hut, and he had just already gone through so much, but now it was just unbearable pain, and he was like, I can't take it anymore. He goes, he felt like right then, it's like he saw the cross before him, and he like experienced Jesus in this hut like he had never experienced before. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. That's so amazing. And here's another one. When I was in Seoul, Korea, last year, I got to have dinner with one of the guys. Remember the missionaries from Korea that were abducted in Afghanistan? And they were killing them one by one. I forget how many, I think it was like 23 of them, and I had to have dinner with one of the guys. You know, it was just he and I having this conversation, and a translator, because I'm like, what does that mean? He's telling me about it, and he's telling me the experience, and, you know, I mean, imagine being arrested by the Taliban, and then they're gonna start killing you one by one. And these 23, the last day they were together, because then they split them up in groups of three and took them to remote places. The last day they were together, one of the gals still had a Bible on her. They confiscated everything, but somehow he said one of them still had scripture. And so she ripped it into 23 pieces and they just passed it to one another so they could each just have a little scripture once they're separated. And you know, whenever you got a free moment, look at a scripture and get yourself encouraged. And then he talked about how all 23 of them, man, one at a time, they just went around in a circle, surrendering their lives to Jesus, going, you know what? Jesus, whatever brings you most honor, my life is yours. My life is yours. If it brings you more glory that you kill me, kill me. If it brings you more honor that I live, I live. And all of them just surrendered their lives to Jesus. And he was just describing that circle. And then he goes, then the senior pastor looked at us and he says, the Taliban are going to start killing us. And I've already told them that I die first because I am the pastor. And this guy I was having dinner with said, no. He goes, I die first. I am a pastor too, and I am your elder. I die first. And he says, then the other guy says, no, 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 no. You are not ordained. Sure, sure. He goes, you are not ordained. I am the ordained senior pastor. I die first. And sure enough, that guy died first. And I'm just listening going, dang, that's New Testament to me. That's it. You know, and they killed another guy. And somehow they got, and we still don't know the whole, there's something fishy going on there. But they got released after they just killed a few of them. And they came back. But here's what this guy was telling me. I mean, it was just an honor to be at a dinner table with this guy where you go, okay, this, you fit in with the book of Acts. Not the guy that broke his string on his guitar, but you fit in. You know, like you're right there. That's congruent with Scripture. And you're sitting there going, man. But here's what he said. He goes, a strange thing is now that we've been back to Seoul for like a year or so. He goes, I've had all the people that were on that trip. It seems like one by one, they come up to me and they go, Pastor, don't you wish we were still there? I mean, they were all in remote places, you know, in these pits guarded by the Taliban. Not knowing if they were going to die, not knowing if that was a day they were going to suffer, be tortured, whatever. And they're telling them, that this is what they say. He says, they come up to him and they go, Pastor, don't you wish you were still there? They said, I was so close to Jesus in that hole, in that cellar. I was so close, so intimate with Jesus every minute. And I come back here and I try to get it back. I've tried to pray. I've tried to fast. It's just not the same. I can't have it. I wish I was back there because I was so close to him. See, these are people that love Jesus. And I said, it was only during that time of suffering that I had this sweet fellowship with him. That's just such a weird thought to me. But it makes sense in light of Philippians 3 that everything else is crap. I don't care about my comfort. I just want Jesus. And if it means suffering, I think that's the only way I'll get really close to him. If I feel some of that rejection he felt, because that's when I felt him. And then I go, man, that so makes sense in light of Scripture. I mean, think about it. Remember Stephen? Remember Stephen when he went, man of God, and he's preaching, and now he's about to get stoned, and they're picking up rocks to stone him. What does he say? He goes, look. He goes, I see the Son of Man. I see Jesus. He just freaks out right before they're about to kill him, going, I can look into heaven right now and see Jesus. Go ahead. Throw the rocks. This is insane. I see Jesus right now. And sure enough, they stoned him to death. Why? It was in that time of persecution that suddenly Jesus appeared. Just like with those Koreans. Just like with these missionaries. Just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I threw him down in this furnace. Who's that fourth guy? Right? There's something about the presence of God. See, and when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, he says, man, it's when you're put up in front of the authorities. You don't know what to do. Don't worry, because that's when the Holy Spirit's going to come. Don't worry about what you're going to say. He'll give you the words to say. When? When you're placed in front of the authorities. Well, why don't I experience the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe because you're not suffering. He's called the Comforter. Why do you need a Comforter if you're comfortable? You know, we think, well, I want to experience the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to climb this mountain, and you know, and that's fine. But could it be that we experience the Holy Spirit when we're out making true disciples and teaching them to obey everything that God's commanded us? And as we teach them to obey everything that God's commanded us, they reject us. And that's when we'll experience the, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Is that when we're experiencing His presence, when we're actually making disciples and teaching people to obey everything and they don't like it? And they reject us. And Paul says, well, you know what, then that's what I'm going to do. I'll go out and make disciples. I'll go out and suffer what I need to because I want the fellowship of Christ. I want to experience Him. See, if we really are serious about wanting Christ, wanting to experience Him, to know Him, then we can rejoice in the sufferings. and we can rejoice in being rejected. And I tell you, I say that with a little bit of fear and unsurety. It's like, am I ready for more of this? Because it's just awful. It's not what I would choose for myself. But I sense a calling from God. We've kind of taken a little break at our church because we just were so beat up, I didn't know what else to do. Now I'm going, man, I think I backed off a little too much. It's time to jump back in again. And a different attitude this time. Okay, God, make me that godly, because I'm not that godly. Make me that Christ-like, that when I'm rejected, I can pray for their forgiveness and love them and serve them and maybe show the highest form of love. And I don't know if I'm ready. You know, I guess we'll see. I just want to take this thing to the end and not just talk about it. Because I know how to talk and get people to like me. Just done with that. And I want to experience the Holy Spirit. And please, I hope you understand. This is not something edgy, cool, the new thing, whatever, and we just were bored and so we came up with something. It's a biblical conviction that's just killing us. And it seems like it's been killing a lot of you. And we're going, okay, this is going to hurt. And we're going to be rejected, and we may not have a salary anymore. Who cares? I want Christ. I'd rather be in a pit guarded by Taliban with Jesus than sitting in my comfortable house, building up my retirement without Him. I want the presence of Jesus, and if His presence isn't with us, I don't want to go there. And unless He builds a house, this is sort of all going to be a bunch of garbage anyways. And I don't want to come to the end and see that it's all going to burn because it's all wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all just a show. And I'm just the Church of Sardis. That reputation. Ooh, Francis Chan, look at him. You know, he wrote a good book. You know? And God go, ooh, that was a really good book, Francis. You know? I want him to go, man, well done. I saw the way he suffered like my son did. He did it. Well done. I want to hear that so badly. I got to remind myself that I want that more than anything. But again, this is the Holy Spirit's leading. And I don't know what He's calling you to do. My guess is what He's calling you to do is going to look different from what He calls me to do. But it's going to be painful for both of us. And we've got to get to this mindset of, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. And I hope that's you today. In fact, why don't you spend some time right now? I'd love for you to pray, not just for me to pray over you. Would you just bow your heads? I love the way Jesus would tell His disciples. He would not sugarcoat anything, make anything sound beautiful or glamorous. He just goes, are you sure you want to do this? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. You might have nowhere to lay your head. Man, they hated me. They're going to hate you also. You saw how they persecuted me? They're going to persecute you also. You're my servant. You think they're going to treat the servant better than they treated the master? He just laid it all out there, and that's all I was hoping to do. But I want you to start looking at your life, and again, with an attitude of surrender. Just confess the things that you're scared to surrender.